Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs, and I'm inspired to share this content and call with you this evening. It is absolutely my privilege and pleasure as we are on the last Tuesday of July, 2015. I've been hosting this call 18 July, soon to be 19 July. Welcome, welcome, welcome. If you're a first-time caller, I host this call each and every Tuesday night at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. This call is recorded and available for download and podcast on Podomatic. I send out on Facebook every Wednesday morning how you can access the call via Podomatic or a download. We routinely have well over 1,000 people every Wednesday who take advantage of this call recorded. So this call is available. I want to thank all of you who listen to the calls. And those of you who have been my guests, I'm talking about Tara Romano, CG, Jennifer, Susan Sly, Alexis, many of those of you who have been a guest, I continually receive great rave reviews from the content you shared from people who have gone back and listened to the call. So I want to thank all of you who have contributed to this call. The great Mark Victor Hansen is going to be my guest very soon. Many of you still continue to access the Joe Dispenza call, who, incidentally, Dr. Joe will be my guest, and it's getting closer and closer. Seems like a long ways off, March 19th, but it won't be that long. Dr. Joe will be in New Jersey with Alexis Romano and I, and that will be an absolute fabulous event at the Marriott Hotel at the Newark Airport. I'm going to cover a few quick announcements, and I have a call that I've shared content from this very topic a few times over the years. It's a great call. I'm going to revisit some of the content tonight, Why Winners Win. If you're on the call for the first time, I said I host this call each and every Tuesday night. The call is recorded. I also speak practically every Saturday at some point in the United States. Last Saturday, I had the largest attendance ever in Chicago, Illinois. I want to thank C.G. Siddons, who unequivocally rocked the house, and Carolyn Olson, who added great content on food addictions. CG has really come into her own and into her power and will be sharing the stage with me at other events, as you'll also have the opportunity to see Crystal Lowry and some of my other exceptional clients, friends, and speakers at live events. This Saturday I'll be in Long Island, New York, a fabulous place to catch an event. I want to thank my longtime client and friend Kelly Bartoletti and Joy Schoenholtz, who have consistently hosted me on this event. I will also be back there December 5th, so two times in Long Island. August 8th, I'll be in Marina Del Rey with Tara Romano. Now, those of you who heard Tara on the call a couple weeks ago, she absolutely was phenomenal. Tara has really come into her own as a speaker and a multipreneur. Tara brings great value and great skills because she's well on her way to becoming a seven-figure income earner in two businesses at one time before she's 40 years young. I mean, that alone is remarkable. August 14th, the Millionaire Blueprint is in San Diego, California. That is from 12 until 4 at the San Diego Convention Center. Susan Sly, Alexis Romano, and myself, there'll be some other guest speakers and some great front row seats from some world-class clients of mine who I will have contribute to that event. August 22nd, I'll be sharing the stage with the one and only Alex Morton. Alex is an absolutely dynamic personality. If you've ever seen him on video, or if you've not seen him on video, take advantage of some of his content. At 24 years old, he was a self-made millionaire in the network marketing and direct sales industry. On August 29th, I'll be in Portland, Oregon for the second time in my career. I want to thank Rebecca Caffiero, who is my host at two events. She's also going to be my guest speaker and host in Pleasanton, California. That is in my backyard. That is about 45 miles from my house in the East Bay of beautiful, my city by the bay, San Francisco. September 26th, I will be in Atlanta, Georgia for the first time in 2015. That is also 4 years ago where I met Jennifer Corliss Trinkner sitting in the front row. That is a whole other story of one of the most unique audiences I ever attracted, and Jennifer and I became great friends from that event. October 3rd, I'll be in Charleston, South Carolina. I already know that many people are flying in around the country to come to one of those beautiful cities and historic cities in the United States. My exceptional superstar client and friend, Bridget Bartley, is the host of that event. Albany, New York, first time ever in Albany. I shared the stage with Carpet once upon a time with Susan Sly in Syracuse. That's where I met Alexis in for the first time ever. October 17th, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Great memories in Philadelphia. Pete Tomello, Joe DiBianca, and some great friends and clients. I'll be back in Chicago. I just rebooked Chicago, October 24th. Cindy Walter is a fantastic woman who hosted that event, first-class woman. She's also become very good friends with C.G. Siddons. What a great 1-2 punch. October 31st, Buffalo, New York. Then on November 7th, Alexis and I will be hosting Mark Victor Hansen and Susan Sly. What about that for a lineup? I'll tell you, when you come to my events also, there are people that I have come out of the audience, step out of the audience, and sometimes some of the greatest speakers come from people in the audiences. It's kind of like the meetings during the meetings. November 21st, I'm going to be in Norwalk, Connecticut, and December 5th, Long Island, New York. More than likely, my last speaking engagement of 2015 will be in the City of Angels, Los Angeles, California. That's December 19th, although that is to be determined. So if you have a city you would like me to attend, December 19th is the only available Saturday that I have. By August 7th, I will have my certified coaching program available. In the next few days, I will be releasing my online coaching. That is 21 modules, almost 4 hours of downloadable content. It's video content on how to effectively coach yourself, be a coach, etc. Then my coaching certification program, it will be over 8 hours of content, about 100 modules for download along with workbook and many other additional products. That will be available August 7th. So exciting times at the Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated Studios, Warehouse, Museum, and Comfort of My Home. With that, we're going to move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. Tonight's call, Why Winners Win, is dedicated to a great book I bought back in the early 80s. I had the privilege of seeing the great Dr. Dennis Waitley early in his career. Dennis went on to have a spot in a company called USANA with his wife at the time, Debbie, and I had the privilege of seeing Dennis on a few occasions. Dr. Dennis Waitley was also part of Jim Rohn's Speakers Bureau, and I had the privilege of getting to know Mr. Kyle Wilson when he was booking Dr. Dennis Waitley. In my hand is a great book that every one of you should have, written in 1977, called The Psychology of Winning. Also in my desk is another great book written by Art Garner called Why Winners Win. Winning is an attitude. Winning is a psychology. Winning is a mindset. Winning is a habit. Now, we're going to use the word winning and also substitute succeeding because they are relatively synonymous. Now, for those of you who follow sports or you follow other types of cultures, whether it be soccer, golf, or the team sports, baseball, hockey, football, and the National Football League, and all of the team sports that many of you are fanatics, i.e. fans about, with the four main sports obviously are baseball, football, track, and hockey, and then there's also other sports that you probably follow, rowing and tennis, racquetball, badminton, any of the sports. All sports require a unique type of attitude. You must be able to put yourself in physical and or emotional shape to be competitive. Winning isn't always about winning. Winning is about the mindset to become a winner. You have to learn to lose as gracefully as you win at times and then not take it personally. And when you are in a business, you have to also have a business mindset, but you also must have a competitive mindset. Now, if you're someone who sits around your home and you say to yourself you're not competitive and you don't like confrontation, then you will have challenges mastering the emotional state required to be a winner. Let's take a look at the word confrontation. Confrontation is required in any type of business, in any kind of athletic event. You have to be able to confront yourself. Take the pain and the physical aggression out of confrontation. rewire yourself and change your attitude about confrontation. You have to be able to confront excuses, occasionally diplomatically confront your teammates. You have to confront your opponents. You have to confront your prospects. And you learn to do it in a very diplomatic forum where you can create win-win situations. And also you want to learn how to not to take situations personally so you can let people go. You have to effectively learn how to qualify people for your time. That would be prospects, that would be soulmates, that would be dates, that would be teammates, that would be any multitude of situations. You want to be able to create win-win situations through the law of alignment. You want to consistently align yourself where you have the greatest law of averages of being able to create results, create friendships, create camaraderie, create a culture. Now, some of the women that I've had the privilege of interviewing on this very call in the last couple of years absolutely have created fantastic cultures. I'm talking about Susan Sly, Alexis Romano, Jennifer Trinkner, and within the cultures of those cultures, there have been other leaders, Dawn Baron Ferrantino, there's been Joe Alonso, there's been Tara Romano, G. Siddons, and then Susan has created a whole dynamic group of leaders, Aaron Postal, Sue Field, Teresa Van Hoosen, Carolyn Rodriguez, many, many people. And then you go to people like Jimmy Smith, who's been in the game for many, many years, who at 62 years old, who had no winning track record when it came to business. He started his career as a butcher right outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, starts his first network marketing company in the 80s, flounders around for a few years, has a little bit of success in the late 90s, and absolutely lands on his feet at the right place at the right time with a startup company and becomes one of the number one income earners in a company that becomes a $1 billion company. Luck is when opportunity meets preparation. It's better to be good than it is to be lucky. As I said, luck and opportunity must come together, and you must learn to prepare and execute. Now, if you desire to be a winner and be successful, over a block of time. Many of you have workbooks on 90-day game plans. Many of you have goals that you write down. Many of you are in the process of transformation and change, but you must have dedicated blocks of time to honing and developing the skills of winning. Winning is an attitude. Winning is a mindset. What does that mean? Well, you can't win them all. If you own a business, it's different than competing in a sport, although there are similarities. I am fortunate enough to have a father who is a Hall of Fame basketball coach. He was also an exceptional track and field coach, a high school baseball coach, but his real niche was basketball. He was great at developing a culture, a winning culture, over a long career, 37 years in the trenches of high school basketball coaching. He had a few losing seasons, but most of his seasons, he was very consistent. He would have years of 18-7, 19-9, 15-10, 16-11. He had many seasons like that. And when you're a high school coach or coach of any situation, there's going to constantly be turnover. That means that there are going to be students that graduate, students that quit, students that move on. And in a business, it's the same similarity. You're going to have people come in through the outdoor. You'll have product consumers who don't ever really see the vision. You'll have people who start off really fast and don't finish. You'll have people who start slow and become some of the best teammates that you have ever developed. As you begin to become a leader and a leader grower, leadership is influence. You must be able to influence and persuade. You'll lead from the front, you'll lead from the back, you'll lead from the middle, and you'll let other people lead, and you'll change your leadership role. It's not your team, it's a community team. You may be the leader of the team, but you also have to become a leader grower. And if your check is a byproduct of who you attract and who you develop, then you want to be able to foster a winning culture. You must also realize in every culture that you develop, you can't win them all, and there's going to be dissidents, people who are addicted to rebellion, addicted to control, and they're going to control their control and be out of control. And you'll only have a small percent of your population that rebels against you if you're not rebellious yourself. You have to learn to let people people be right so you can foster a winning attitude. I picked up a magazine that I subscribed to just yesterday, and I saw that the great Danny White, who once played in the National Football League for over 14 years, played with the Dallas Cowboys as a punter, and he took several Dallas Cowboy teams to the playoffs. Never got into a Super Bowl as a starting quarterback as the great Joe Montana threw the pass called the catch in the last 56 games, which denied Danny White from ever going to the Super Bowl. What's interesting about Danny White is now he is a top-tier network marketing and direct sales superstar with a telecommunications company located in Charlotte, North Carolina. And Danny stated in his full-page ad that he's achieved more money in his direct sales career than he ever did in the National Football League. Now, I remember back in the 80s when Danny was a $20,000-plus in the late 80s, and 90s, a $20,000-plus a month income earner in Nu Skin. So there's someone who's been a top-tier winner playing for 14 years in the National Football League with the great Tom Landry, with one of the most storied franchises in the history of football, the Dallas Cowboys. And here he is in network marketing and direct sales because he is a winner. What's interesting, a lot of professional athletes don't translate into network marketing and direct sales, although it's equal opportunity. And some do. The psychology of winning. What does it mean to be a winner? It means it's an attitude. It means that you're skilled at results. It means that you tend to win more than you lose. It means that you focus on excellence and you really start to create excellence in yourself, and you raise the bar in that excellence by raising the level of your game, and other people will follow you. But you cannot be a controlling leader. You have to be an inspired leader. You lead by example and you see who follows. You have to foster an attitude. You have to foster a culture of winning. And you don't ever take it down, you take it up. If you're a winner, you cannot be a chronic complainer. If you're a winner, you have to focus on results and focus on solutions. But if you are a flaw finder, you will find the flaws and you will talk yourself out of the opportunity before you ever succeed. If you're addicted to disappointment or you have multiple addictions that take you out of the game, you'll have challenges being consistent. One of the most important components that you develop as a winner is your mindset. And not only a mindset of winning, but a mindset of being objective, a mindset of being in the game, a mindset of understanding cause and effect and why you do what you do. You must be able to adapt very quickly if you're going to be a winner. You must be able to have a certain set of reflexes that are conducive to adapting and adjusting. If you own a business, you have to be very, very skilled emotionally, meaning that you don't go into fight or flight, you don't get overwhelmed, you don't talk yourself out of your excellence. You stay in the middle. You stay in the flow. You're very fast at what you do. You move situations along relatively quickly. You live in your intuition. You live in spontaneous excellence. And excellence means that you become so skilled emotionally that you become skilled physically with what you do. You develop a set of reflexes that are second to none. It means in your autonomic nervous system, the way you autocratically operate is that you have a set of reflexes that you automatically move into a result. You automatically move into a solution. You step around problems. You solve problems relatively quickly. You don't foster chaos. You don't foster negativity. You don't have a lot of drama in your team. You foster positivity. You foster objectivity. You don't get wrapped up in situations that suck the life out of you. It means you're very skilled at spotting emotional and spiritual vampires who want to affect the winning environment in the team. You have to create the environment that's conducive to the outcome you seek. And certain winners develop certain cultures. You can spot a winner by the way they carry themselves. Winners do not have to brag or tell you how successful they are. You can tell they are by the way they carry themselves. It's usually a very calm, cool, quiet effervescence that permeates and radiates off of them. It's a type of spiritual energy that's infectious, meaning that people feel you. And when you come from this kind of quiet, cool, relaxed energy, all of a sudden people begin to show up. It's an unexplained phenomenon. One of my clients today put a video out on Facebook. I was watching it. She was messaging me, letting me know that she had 9 leads that contacted her immediately, 15 leads, 20 leads, 40 leads by the end of the day by a video she put out. Now, what many people will think is that is magic. It's not. That's spontaneous excellence. That's creation on demand. That's operating in why, not how. You cannot win by living in how. You win by having a why bigger than the problems. And in your why are your dream spaces. Your why are your reasons. Your why is what brings it all together. Your why is the centrifugal force that pulls you through your problems and challenges. Your why is when you're able to attract people of like mind. That's what creates the Mastermind Alliance. Not people who suck the life out of you or people you have to enable, rescue, and do too much for. And you have to have prosperous thoughts to attract prosperous prospects. But if you have broke thoughts, you're overwhelmed, and you live in problems, and you constantly create excuses, you can't foster a winning team. Losing teams oftentimes have leaders who it's not so much that they're losers, but they live in dualities. There's a lot of leaders who are contradictions. They're good at creating results, but they're equally good at creating chaos, drama, and then they foster backbiting, conflict, and chaos. And if you have a conflict consciousness rather than a prosperity consciousness, then you will tend to gravitate back to that which is familiar. Prosperity is flow, conflict is resistance. If you live in conflict, you will attract people to argue with, be in resentment with, and you'll create a whole situation that you'll constantly have to be in conflict. As you begin to let go of your conflict, avoid conflict, and attract prosperity seekers that you can partner with, and you start to attract other people that you can foster change with, you are changing the dynamics. And you'll know that the situation is beginning to change as you start to attract followers. That means you start to bring people to events. They start to follow you to events. Now, I heard Alexis mention that she was on the call earlier tonight, and I said to her 2 years ago, what does that mean? It means that Alexis have inside information about what it was like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, back in the day, and where she is tonight. Now, any one of you could achieve what she has done, what Jennifer's done, what Tara's done, what CG's done, what Arthur Tubman's done, what another client of mine, Mark Hoverson, has done, some of the superstar internet marketers that I had the privilege of coaching and mentoring. Any one of you could do what my friend Michael Garozzo owns 5 restaurants, created his own products that he now sells online around the world. Any one of you could do that because that's the spirit of innovation. That's the spirit of creativity. That's when you come from why, how, what, not how, what, why. Any of you have ever seen the great Simon Sinek on TED Talks? He really delivers that message, your why. It's not how you do something, it's why you do it. It's not how are you going to get to the land of promise. You've decided you're going to get there first. Winners decide first and create second. It's one of the most important skills that you master, one of the most important skills that become your mindset. It's not how are we going to get there. We decide we're there first. That means you have to be able to have a vision where you have a vision and then you create on command. It's the vision of the future that you're able to live in. You borrow from the future while you produce in the present. That's the value of having a dream. When you were 10 years old, 12 years old, 14 years old, 16 years old, you had dreams. But somewhere along the line, you forgot how to dream, and now you focus more on paying your bills, just getting by. You want to pay off your debt. You want to pay it forward. You want to give. You want to serve. Those are all great situations, but they're typically not emotional enough for you to overcome the challenges that have become your mindset. And if your problems have become your identity, then you'll live in the problem. But if you learn to live in the solution, you're solution-oriented, you live in innovation and creativity, then you'll be able to create on demand. What does that mean? It means there's no separation between you and the result because you are the result. You are the result because you are the result of all of the effects that have led up to you understanding the cause that created the situations that perpetuated your emotional challenges that kept you in control. As you've learned how to let go of control and understand that control and pressure is an illusion, you no longer get deluded by those illusions and you live much more present. You still will goal set and have a vision of the future, But when you are here and you are now, you are in the present. And to become a winner, you have to be able to teach winning skills. Winning skills break down to the fundamentals and or the inner game. And if you're not fundamentally sound or emotionally sound, then you can't possibly attract to your reality the people and situations you require to foster winning. If you have to continually enable people, pick people up consistently. Now, there's nothing wrong with giving a hand up, but you don't want to be consistently be attracting people that require handouts. And if you're an addicted over-obligator or an addicted procrastinator, you can't possibly have a winning attitude. Winning attitude is relaxed intensity. It's a very relaxed emotional energy that says, I am capable, I am the leader you are looking for, I am a leader grower, I foster leadership change. I foster a culture that we can thrive and collaborate in. When you have a winning team, there's no competing with each other. When you have a winning team, it's a common bond that comes together, people of like mind coming together for common causes. But you'll occasionally encounter people who will feel threatened. There's this mythical, magical place where people get to in network marketing, direct sales, and some businesses where their ego becomes bigger than their bank account. I have found that somewhere around $8,000 to $15,000, some people become superstars in their head. They forgot where they, what brought them to the dance. They forgot where they came from. They put too much energy in their egoic mind. They start to threaten the aristocracy. They start to threaten the leadership of an organization because they have a better way. You want to learn to let those people go. You want to let them start their own teams without being in conflict. You want to let these people be right so you can go out and continue to foster a winning environment. There are certain teams that have cancers on the teams, and you have to cut the cancer out relatively quickly. You have to neutralize people who want to be in conflict. You have to learn to let people go very quickly. You may remember the great Terrell Owens. He was a great talent in the National Football League, but unfortunately today he is bankrupt. He has several children from several women. He cannot pay child support. The great Allen Iverson, who played in the National Basketball Association and grossed over $146 million, is now one of the tragedies. One out of six professional athletes end up bankrupt. He is one of those one out of six. In last week's Sports Illustrated, one of the Kentucky's greatest basketball players of all time, Rex Chapman, who was a first-round draft choice in 1988, played 14 years in the National Basketball Association, made $31 million, was relegated to shoplifting, and had no remembrance of what actually happened to him. He said he was in a blackout. And did that happen? Possibly. Being in blackouts myself, I can relate. But $31 million ago, he has nothing left. Unfortunately, that's what happens to a lot of people. All three of those professional athletes were leaders, but all three of them had unresolved issues that never got addressed. That's why you are where you are. That's why you read books. You read books on Kindle. You take books with you. You listen to podcasts, downloads. You go to events, rallies, seminars, conventions. Not only that, you foster a culture of leadership and winning, and people follow you. And that leadership is influence, and you want to be able to influence and have affluence with people that fosters a winning environment. See, when everyone is winning, or when the people are, when there's a certain culture of a team that's winning, it starts to foster it. You start to raise and elevate the level of the game, the level of the team. And people want to be a part of what you're doing. This is why people want to join certain other teams, because that team appears to have the magic. There is no magic in winning. Winning comes down to fundamentals. And if you're not fundamentally sound, you are fundamentally unsound. I have found that the greatest winners typically devote the greatest amount of time to winning. They're the type of people you can find in the gym devoting extra time to the skills of the game, to the habits required to be exceptional one day at a time over a long career. I'm a recovering whiner. I'm a recovering person who had a lot of talent and never realized my talent as a teenager in my 20s. I was good, but I was never great. I could never really devote my energy to one sport. I separated myself in four different sports for 6 years. I never focused on one sport. That's one of the reasons I never became a superstar athlete. I was really good. I have a few school records. I was on 71 victories of my father's 400. I averaged 15 points a game my last 2 years of my high school basketball career. I hold my high school record for receptions. In football, I ran a good 100-yard dash, but I never won a state track meet medal. I was never first-team All-State. I was third-team All-State, honorable mention in a couple of sports, but I never really reached the big time as a winner. We had winning teams. I contributed to those teams, but we never won a state tournament, never won a baseball tournament. We never won a state baseball tournament. We had good teams, but I was never great. I spent a lot of my time being good, but never really mastering excellence. The reason, I wasn't willing to pay the price. I wasn't really willing to do what was required to be that exceptional athlete that I had the capability of doing. I spent time with Gary Gaetti. He was my college roommate. I spent quality time with him, played 19 years in the major leagues, hit 356 home runs, 4 gold gloves, 4 All-Star games, and 1 World Series. Gary today, I still have his phone number right here on my desk, as he's a minor league manager after being in the major leagues for 19 years and a coach for another 20. A lot of his life was devoted to winning. I admired what he did. I also had a friend named Bill Whitaker who played 4 years in the National Football League. Another kid I grew up with named Kevin Ritz who played 9 years in the major leagues. That was always one of my dreams, but it was a dream that I never capitalized on. I found network marketing and direct sales in my late 20s and was not serious about it until I got clean and sober at 31. It took me a couple of years of dabbling and getting ready to get ready, not even remembering the first company I got started in, which was an aloe vera juice company. I remember listening to my first call on a cassette tape player, driving up to Eureka, California when I was a Yellow Page salesman on straight commission, getting excited about network marketing but never really getting off the launching pad. But in 1990, I got serious about network marketing and direct sales and quit my job without a net. I had about $5,000 in the bank and one check coming to me and a little bit of vacation coming to me. All told, I had about $8,000 to start my venture. I was able to stay full-time in network marketing for almost 4 years and had an emotional and a breakdown in a company's pay plan that put me living in a little apartment, 400 square feet, $400 a month, right outside of 7-Eleven, and I was relegated, and I had lost my winning ways. I had to reinvent myself. It took me a couple of years to really get back on my feet. I ended up $100,000 in credit card debt. I lost my belief in myself. I lost my belief in myself in the industry and had to reinvent myself. I went back and got a job and got my ass handed to me and realized I could never work for anyone again. I had crossed the bridge. I didn't know if I'd ever make it, but I knew I was never going to have a job. I didn't know how, but I had a why. My why was I was never going to work for someone else. I had put my dreams on hold for a couple of years and pouted and brooded for a while and really wasn't in the game. I dabbled in a couple of businesses after getting to the peak of my career at $20,000 a month in 1993. I fell all the way down to $100,000. I reignited myself in 1995, and I have never looked back. And even early in my career, I wasn't willing to pay the price. Now, I put in the time. I put a lot of effort. But I realized in 1995, when I rededicated myself, that I wasn't really that serious about being a professional. I thought I could get by on talent alone and effort. I couldn't. I hadn't really devoted the proper energy to really developing a winning culture. I enrolled a lot of people in my career in my first 5 years. I sponsored a lot of people that never did anything. I sold a lot of people into the business, and I never was able to really turn the corner. The law of the lid for me was somewhere between $8,000 to $20,000. And I spent most of my first 5 years somewhere in there, and it cost a lot of money to run a business back then, and I was constantly just barely getting by. Getting by had become a way of life for me. Surviving, not thriving, it happened. The switch flipped for me. People go, what was the switch? Well, here's about as switch as a switch ever got. I did a three-way call with a woman who challenged me. She confronted me to attend an event that I did not have the money for. I was too embarrassed to say no. I said, absolutely, I'm going. The money showed up the very next day. It was one of those mythical, magical, synchronistic events that changed my life. I went to an event where I saw a gentleman making $100,000 a month. I'd seen people on stage making $100,000 a month, but he stood up right behind me and gave a testimony to a room full of people. I introduced myself, spend a little quality time with him. He was very unimpressive. I knew if he could do it, I could do it. I did it in 13 months. That's exactly what I saw happen to Alexis 2 years ago in July 2013. I remember spending quality time with her at the Mirage Hotel as she had some of her biggest breakthrough months in the year 2013. Today, she is one of the strongest teams in network marketing and direct sales because of this, the fundamentals. Alexis is unequivocally, fundamentally sound, as is Jennifer Trinkner, as is Susan Sly. They have developed winning cultures. It's not how did they do it, they did it. When you let go of how and start to have a why, then the centrifugal force begins to happen. When you let go of all the technical know-how that you feel you're required to learn, then you start to live in why you do what you do. Your why is bigger than your challenges. You start to reignite yourself and recapitalize what it's going to be like to live the good life. You start to live the romance. You start to develop the simple discipline practice one day at a time in the fundamentals. What is a fundamental? A fundamental is taking my father's keys on a Sunday night, going into the gym and shooting free throws by myself with a rack of basketballs, 12 basketballs in a rack, shooting by myself. Now, this was back before they had an invention that you can put underneath a basketball net where it rolls the ball back to you. I would shoot 12 and go pick them up, and they'd roll around the gym because they're round. I'd pick them up, put them in the rack, roll them back to the free throw line and do it over and over until I could shoot free throws blindfolded. I used to shoot free throws with my eyes closed where I could hit 6 out of 10, eventually 7 out of 10, 8 out of 10, so in a game I could drop 9 out of 10. As a senior in high school, I was a 92% free throw shooter, NBN, nothing but net. I got so skilled at that I could block out the entire fans in the seats, and I could focus on the task at hand. But if you're overwhelmed neurologically in an outer body experience, it's going to be very challenging for you to let go of the control that keeps you out of control and focus on the skills at hand to become a winner. When I say winning is an attitude, winning has to be an attitude in your head. Winning has to be an attitude in your body. You have to be a winner in the shower, a winner in your car, a winner before you go to bed, a winner when you wake up. But if you have doubt, overwhelmed, not sure if you can pull it off, avoid learning the skills, you'll never be a winner. You'll continue to be a whiner, going to events, rallies, conventions, wondering why no one's given you the love, no one's given you the awards, you're not rank advancing, getting the pin levels, and no one's following you. You're not entitled to success. You might deserve it, but success is earned one day at a time through simple discipline, practice, emotionally, spiritually, and physically to become a winner. Winning must become an attitude. But if you have low self-esteem and try and mask it with high self-confidence, and you talk a lot in false bravado, you're just another poser. I see so many posers. All of a sudden, they get a rank where they make about $8,000 a month. All of a sudden, they are a coach. They are a coach because now they're a coach. They made $8,000, and they're ready to get paid for their brilliance. It's not going to happen. You're a poser. And until you let go of being a poser, you'll never really be a closer. Before you can ever teach the skills, you have to live the skills. Before I ever started my coaching business, I was a seven-figure income earner. I never got certified to be a coach. I became a coach by living being a coach. I didn't go to a, and there's nothing wrong with getting certified, but instead of getting certified, I lived being successful. How can you teach success unless you've lived it? You can't, because then you're teaching success principles rather than success realities. And once you start to teach success realities, then you can teach people how to be a winner. Winning is an attitude. Winning is a culture. Winning is a mindset. Winning is an identity. You have to be able to identify with winning. But if you live in, yeah, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure I can pull this off, and you have to be in constant conflict with your uplines or your teammates, and you're managing people rather than leading people, then you're going to have challenges being a winner. Winners have short memories. What does that mean? It means you don't focus on yesterday. You focus on today. Winners are competitive with themselves and with others. What does that mean? It means you compete with yourself. You compete with your excellence. You compete with task well done. You have pride and dignity about what you do daily. You can remember what you, when I say you have a short memory, it means you can remember what you did today. You remember what you did yesterday. You remember what you did the day before, and you don't focus on yesterday's challenges. You focus on today's results. You have a routine. You have a system. You have a method. And it's so simple that you can teach it. I can teach prospecting because I've lived it. Not only have I lived it, I continue to live it. I ask questions in a sequence, and I ask the same questions over and over until they became auto-suggestion. I became very disciplined in how I would ask questions. You will seldom ever hear me use the T word, talk. I don't go out and talk to people. I ask questions. Asking has to be in your vocabulary. Asking has to be in your mindset. Asking is what you get paid for. It's the number one discipline you require to be a winner. Asking questions in a sequence. Asking questions over and over till they become auto-suggestion. Asking questions, have you ever considered owning your own business? Many of you are so hung up, so overwhelmed, so undisciplined at selling the dream. It's got you disturbed. It's got you overwhelmed. It's got you frantic. It has you spastic. It has you in anxiety. It has you worrying. You create worry that doesn't exist. You wonder how, you worry about what people are going to ask you. You worry about how many people are going to ask you how much money you've made. You worry about people asking you how long you've done this thing. You worry about how long you've been in the business and haven't made any money. You worry about worry, and worry becomes your identity. When worry is your identity, you spend a lot of your time overwhelmed in fight or flight, consumed with control. Then you try to control the control that keeps you out of control, and there's no winning. You can't control winning. Winning is a one day at a time type of attitude fostered over a long career that creates a mindset. You can't win them all. You have to lose as gracefully as you win. And you're not going to enroll every person. You're not going to close every sale. You have to learn to let people go quickly. You have to be able to trust your intuition, trust your sixth sense, your extrasensory perception, trust your feelings, trust your gut. You have to move out of your left brain, your logical, analytical, egoic mind. You have to realize that the educational system programmed you to go left to right. I had a woman say to me today that she's in her right logical brain. I go, no, it's your right creative brain. It's your left analytical brain. Your left brain is how you solve problems. Your left brain is your IQ. Your right brain is your EQ. It's where you're creative. It's where you're sensitive. It's where you're spontaneous. It's where you're innovative. It's where you see pictures. It's your emotional brain. You want to learn to be there a lot more than you've conditioned yourself to. You want to bring the two hemispheres together so you can also live in your limbic brain. That's where you can find your why, how, and what, not how, what, why. Most people have it backwards. You have to have a why that's bigger than your problems. Dreams that inspire you, that create centrifugal force that pull you forward rather than drag you back. Guilt and resentment is what takes you back to enabling, getting overwhelmed, taking care and rescuing people, doing too much for people, being too guilty to leave a relationship, too guilty to leave a job, too guilty to leave a family, too guilty to let go of your resentment that keeps you in the guilt, that keeps you resenting the situation that you're guilty of. It's the intoxicating, overwhelmed sensations that most people live in that keeps them average. You cannot win being average. You can only be a winner when you become exceptional. You become exceptional by discipline, disciple of. You become exceptional by the simple discipline one day at a time to master the emotional skills, to master the skills of asking questions, answering questions. You must become a skilled listener, a skilled leader, a skilled mentor. This is done one day at a time. But if you use the OW word, overwhelmed, if you live overwhelmed, if you live in chaos, drama, you're unorganized and undisciplined, you cannot possibly be a winner. You can't continue to seduce yourself into living in an overwhelmed state, unorganized, telling yourself, but I can find everything. Why are you overwhelmed? Why are you unorganized? You can't possibly be a winner in an unorganized state. It just does not fit the equation. And if you're so perfect being perfect that you're neurotically perfect, that becomes your excuse to never get off the launching pad. That becomes your excuse to procrastinate. You cannot be a winner being a procrastinator. You can only be a winner being a producer. And you have to let go of this perfect lead syndrome, PLS, perfect lead syndrome. I'll say it again, perfect lead syndrome. It means that you mythically, magically wait for the perfect lead to show up. You think that Tinkerbell, the lead fairy, is going to show up and grant you three wishes. Here's your first lead, here's your second lead, here's your third lead. It does not happen. You must have the courage, a quality that never goes out of fashion, a quality there's always going to be a market for, to call a lead that may not be perfect. It doesn't matter what the lead is. What matters is your system to call the lead. Because you have a system to call the lead, you can persuade people who aren't perfect leads to look at an opportunity that could change the quality of your life when you become persuasive. But you can't become persuasive until you buy into being a winner. And if you continue to hang around posers, you can't be a closer. And I'm going to caution you on who you hire to be your coaches, who you surround yourself with. A lot of coaches are posers. They've never succeeded. They pose as closers, but they can't close their own ass with both hands on it. That's what a poser is. You want to be a closer, not a poser. And how do you become a closer? By repetition and experience, doing the same thing over and over. You have to let go of the anxiety of offending people, saying the wrong thing, making a mistake, getting in trouble. You have to learn to ask for a commitment, ask for a decision, ask someone to attract and or find the money. You have to let go of what people are going to think of you. You have to let go of anxiety about putting yourself out there. Where is out there? Where is out there? Is it out there, out of your body? Or is out there, out of your comfort zone? Your comfort zone is always your failure zone. You have to practice risk for reward. You have to be able to see it and create it. That's what, if you remember in Karate Kid, Ralph Macchio went to Mr. Miyagi and he wanted to learn self-defense. So he spent the first couple of days waxing on and waxing off, pissed him off. He thought he was wasting his time. He throws the sponge in the bucket and he says he's out of here. And before he leaves, he confronts Mr. Miyagi, and Mr. Miyagi says to him, "Daniel, son, wax on, wax off." And he doesn't get it. And he shows him the hand movements, and then it clicks in. The tumbler's in the lock. 37 once, 17 twice, 41 once, click. That's when the locks come together and the tumblers align. That's the law of alignment. That's what happened in that movie. All of a sudden, he got it. That was an aha moment. What Mr. Miyagi was teaching him was the discipline of self-defense. You cannot possibly be a winner without mastering the discipline of prospecting. If you're in a business that requires sales and marketing skills, you have to get beyond sharing and caring. You have to learn the skills to ask the questions. You have to get beyond talking and throwing up on people. You have to learn to qualify people for your time. If you ask anyone that's exceptional, really good at the process, you will hear them say, "Oh, yeah, I could tell in seconds. Oh, I could tell in a minute. Oh, yeah, I could tell this person wasn't for you. No, I let that person go really quickly." That's not someone who doesn't care. That's not someone who's callous. That's someone that understands the value of their time. Winners understand the law of averages, and they create an average that's relatively high based on their skill. A person who's not skilled at the business will have a very low closing ratio, get disappointed very easily, drop out of the organization, quit, and become a COJ, a casualty of the jungle. Now, when you leave the cow pasture, when you let go of the sheep, the sheeple and the cattle, the ba and moo, and you move into the jungle, because on the other side of the jungle is the land of promise, the LOP. But when you move into the jungle, there's a lot of COJs, casualties of the jungle. They go into the jungle, they go to a few seminars, rallies, and conventions. They load their credit card up. They buy coaches to coach the coaches that they're hiring coaches to coach them for. And they have a mindset coach, they have a psychological coach, they have a food coach, they have a coach coaching their coaches. That's what a lot of people do, is they overwhelm themselves with coaching, seminars, rallies, conventions, and they practice self-help. That means they overload themselves. Self-help, self-discipline, motivation, inspiration, personal development, self-improvement, NLP, all of it is important, but in doses. You're not here to inhale it all in one shot. You have to have some practical street sense. That means you have to have some not only some street sense, but some simple discipline. You have to have better understanding. You have to have some common sense, basic understanding of the laws of the universe. You have to learn not to get and stay overwhelmed. And you have to, as I said, have a very short memory. Winners win wherever they go. What does that mean? It means wherever they go, they attract people. Wherever they go, situations happen that seem miraculous to average folk. Wherever I go, there's a parking space right up front. I always get an upgrade when I fly. There's always an open table for me wherever I dine. There's always a miraculous situation. The waters always part for me. Great people always show up. I no longer live in scarcity, lack, and poverty. I've lived there before, and love don't live there anymore. That's not how I want to live anymore. Anything you do is a choice. You have to let go of this word, just. Is all I do is just prospect? Is all I do is just go to the event? Is all I do is just get coached? No, you don't justify anything. You have to let go of just. What you do is you have to have simple discipline, learning skills one day at a time. To master excellence, you have to have an excellent mindset. You have to practice the law of excellence. That means you become your best, not the best. You start to become your best. You become aware of your word choices. You cannot commit when you say need. And most people do not have the word commitment in their vocabulary. See if you can practice tonight and tomorrow inserting the word commit and decide in your vocabulary when you say wish and should, when you say need and ought to, and like to in these type of situations. See if you can eliminate the likes from your vocabulary. You know it's like, you know what I like, and you know like this and like that. See if you can eliminate the word guess. See if you eliminate words like that. If I had to say, see if you eliminate your ums and ahs. See if you can actually speak a sentence grammatically correct. We are so far off common English that it's frightening how many people use slang and words that have no meaning and wonder why their unconscious doesn't separate fact from fiction. You must have clarity in your word choices, clarity in the way you write, and you must have clearly defined short-term goals that will allow you to have longer-term goals that allow you to live the good life. It's the short-term goals, the rank advancements, the sales, teaching people how to prospect, teaching people how to use the products and services, the back office, the simple discipline required to run and stay in business. If you want to be a leader, you have to be a leader grower. It starts with one. If you have one person in your team, create a mastermind alliance. If you don't have anyone in your upline or your crossline that you can find to be able to mentor with, keep looking until you find someone. You require some type of collaboration. Most importantly, you require dedicated blocks of time. Unfortunately, for a lot of people, they can't master the aloneness of owning a business from the comfort of their home. They romance having the business, but they miss the negative people at the water cooler. They miss the negative people in the loading dock in the locker room. They miss the negative people who they could commiserate with, because misery loves company. When you have an enterprise from the comfort of your home, a business from the comfort of your home, it's what you wanted. And sometimes what you'll find, when you get what you wanted, it isn't what you wanted. This is why many people get a get out of jail pass, and they let go of their slavery. They fire their boss. Quit their job, and all of a sudden, I'm home, baby. I got a business from the comfort of my home. And what I believe I'll do today is get ready, procrastinate, get disappointed. Unfortunately, what a lot of people do, they spend a lot of their time getting overwhelmed in their premises because it's unfamiliar. It's new. They're unaccustomed to it, and they don't have any boundaries. Their kids walk in. Their wife walks in. They're doing errands, cleaning out the drain pipe, they're mowing the lawn, washing the car, doing situations that do not pay them. Your most valuable commodity is time. Winners devote their time where they'll get the greatest return on energy. Winners have a value of their time. They have a dedicated block of time, and they know what their time is worth. Winners teach other aspiring winners how to win. Winners teach people how to prospect, how to answer questions, how to ask questions, and how to develop a culture. Winners are leader growers and leader developers. developers. When you come from that place, from contribution and collaboration, you begin to attract to your reality other like-minded individuals that you can partner with to create a winning culture. Winners have charisma, and they can infect an entire culture. Winners can neutralize a loser in a second. Winners can neutralize hostility. Winners can neutralize negativity. Winners can neutralize spiritual and emotional vampires with their own energy. Winners don't give their secrets away. Winners stay in their body. Winners stay in the present. When you have that kind of winning attitude, if you ever watched the great Joe Montana, how he could walk into a huddle and infect an entire game or an entire culture. There are certain people who absolutely can affect an entire culture, and that can be you one day at a time over a long career. And if you're dedicated to winning, then you have to practice, number one, a winning attitude. You have to have winning habits, winning goals, a winning mindset. You have to have winning discipline. Winning is synonymous with success. It means you have a successful attitude, a successful mindset. You have success principles that you live on. You successfully create results one day at a time, creating the compounded effect. Winners typically are usually very humble. Don't have to tell you that they're a winner. You can see it. The way they carry themselves, the way they walk, the way that they transmute their energy, you can tell a lot about someone who's very, very comfortable with themselves. Winners aren't showboats. They don't put mustard in their hot dog. They don't have to brag and flaunt and talk about the results. You can see that they have it. Winning is a mindset. Winning is an attitude. Winning is a habit. To be a winner, you must be very competitive with yourself. You have to be able to confront yourself and confront others diplomatically when duty calls. You don't ever demean anyone, but sometimes you have to challenge people. You also learn how to effectively take situations away from people that creates persuasion techniques and persuasion tactics. The more you understand and practice no attachment and you meet people where they are and you don't create expectations that can't be fulfilled, you'll no longer be addicted to your disappointment. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I am the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. This call is officially a call and in the books the last Tuesday of the year of our Lord 2015. I want to thank you for being on tonight's call. This call has been officially recorded and will be available for playback and download tomorrow at noon Eastern Standard Time on Thursday of June 29th. Have a great evening, everyone. I look forward to seeing some of you in Long Island, New York, Los Angeles, California on August 1st and August 8th, and August 14th, Millionaire Blueprint in San Diego, California. This call is a call. Have a great evening, everyone.